Good evening.
Did you guys notice the praying graphic there that it looks like this place? Same color carpet, same color pew material, it looks like this place. It's cool. Yeah, the guy looks like the veterinarian on Heartland. Anybody else watch Heartland? Do you see it? Yeah, I don't know if you can. The guy, doesn't he look like the vet?
He looks like Ty's
stepdad. Oh, I thought he looked like the vet. Okay. Anyway, let's help me get refocused. Let's pray. we've been doing some Heartland watching, and so it's just Heavenly Father, God, we know that Your Word teaches that every good and perfect gift is from You, God, and so Lord, we. Again, as Tony said, an amen to that, Lord. We thank You for our families, even though they don't always seem totally good, even though they're definitely not perfect. We know that Your plan, God, for our families is absolutely good, and it is completely perfect. And so, God, because You have designed families, You have designed our relationships, Lord, for blessing and for growth, and for encouragement, God, and for Your glory, God, we praise You for our families. So, Lord, we just thank You for earthly families. Thank You for the church, our eternal spiritual family, God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank You for the love that we get from so many people, Your love through people, God. Thank You for the challenges that we face dealing with people who are in our family that are different than us. And that it's through those challenges that You give us an opportunity to give grace and receive grace, Lord, and to just appreciate our differences, God. And so, Lord, we just thank You for fellowship. Thank You for this family time here in this sanctuary, this living room, this place of life, God, that You bring us to. Thank You, God, for the meaning that each person has that's here to us as part of our family. And so, Jesus, we give You thanks for all of this in Your name. Amen. We've been doing a series the last few weeks called Would Christ Be Welcome in Your Home? And we've been talking about family. We've been talking about how God matures and develops followers of Jesus Christ in the context of family relationships. And that's not all that God uses. He uses just personal time in the Word. He uses time in prayer, He uses circumstances, He uses a multitude of things to slowly remove parts of us that don't look like Jesus, because they don't belong. But absolutely, family is an essential thing that God uses, relationships with people. And so, you know, we've highlighted parents and children, we've highlighted husbands and wives, and those are certainly two big relationships that God uses in our lives to help us change when we do those His way. But the Bible also has some things to say about siblings, about brothers and sisters. I'll probably pick on you. Sisters and sisters, brothers and brothers, about siblings. The Bible has some things to say about that. And our talking about relationships and how God uses those would be incomplete unless we had a message really focused on this sibling relationship. So I've titled the message tonight, Live in the Family. We have Live in the Light and Live in the Lord, and tonight we're going to focus on brothers and sisters, and we're going to talk about living in the family. So in the Bible, we'll start with easy. We'll go with no-brainer first. In the Bible, there's two words that we get translated into English that talk about sibling relationships, and those words you all have memorized in your Bible studies. It's brothers and sisters. Everybody got that. So you're either a brother or a sister, one or the other. Well, the word in the New Testament Greek that's translated as brother is adelphos. Adelphos. Adel is a word, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute and what that means. There's a couple key parts of what that means, but the masculine of that is adelphos, and it means brother. And then there's adelphē, which is the feminine form of that same word, and essentially means the same thing, except it's the other gender. It's for feminine. And so you have brother and sister. And this can be in scripture. It could be a person who has the same two parents you have. It could be somebody who, in some instances, has one same parent that you have. And they're still referred to in scripture as brother or as sister, one or the other. But most often in the Bible, most often, actually hundreds of times in the Bible, when it says brother or sister, it's referring to fellow Christians more often than biological brother and sister. And specifically, most often in the Bible, when it talks about brothers and sisters, it's not just talking about fellow Christians. It's specifically referring, not always, but most of the time, to brothers and sisters in the same community. It's fellow believers who live where you live, who gather where you gather, that do life with you. And those are always in Scripture. Those are your brothers and your sisters. Now, there's times in the Bible where it refers to Christians who don't live where you live. And a lot of times it talks about the believers at Ephesus, the believers at Philippi, the brothers and sisters sometimes at Rome. It'll give a different location and sometimes refer to them as brothers and sisters, but a lot of times not. But always, when we have what we have here, those who are in Christ and doing life together, who are community, who are family, as we are, that gather in this place, that is always brothers and sisters in the Bible. Now, brother and sister in the Bible is used to describe a very close relationship, a heart-to-heart relationship between people. To be brother and sister is one of the closest relationships, or supposed to be, that you can have, apart from husband and wife, or parent and child. And in the Word of God, these terms, brothers and sisters, used to describe fellow Christians in a location, it's not only used in a specific sense, it's used in an ideological sense. It's used in a way that's saying, this is the ideal. You are to be brothers and sisters. You are, God says, He declares it. If you are in Christ Jesus, and if you're in Christ Jesus, and you're in Christ Jesus, and you're in Christ Jesus, and we gather here and we worship together, we're brothers and sisters. The Word of God declares that, but it's also used in the sense of being an ideal, that God's saying, listen, this is the goal. This is what I want you to do life, striving to be brothers and sisters to one another. God wants us to have brotherhood and sisterhood among all believers who gather. In some ways, our identities as brothers and sisters, it's really more at the core of who we are in Christ than almost any other description. Even more than being a husband, a Christian husband, or a Christian wife, or a Christian parent, or a Christian child, because those relationships are going to pass. Those relationships between people are for earth. But brothers and sisters is eternal. That never, ever ends. The Bible refers to those who are in Christ hundreds of times as being brothers and sisters. So I want to talk for a minute about what that means, about brotherhood and sisterhood. And again, going back to that Greek word, adel, and the prominent aspects of what it means to be, biblically, to be a brother or be a sister. And one of the key aspects of that Greek word, it means common. It means to share something. You're in the same family. You share family together. So if you are a brother or a sister in Christ, that means you share family together, and so you acknowledge that, you celebrate that we are in the same, not just family for now in Kokomo here, but eternally. We are always going to be in the same family, which means we have to work some things out, right? When things aren't what they're supposed to be, we can't just push it to the side and put it under the rug. I mean, we've got to work it out because God says we're always going to be family. And so it needs to matter to us because it matters to God that we are brothers and sisters. He's the one who says it, that we are. He's the one who declares it. So it has to matter to us. Now, another essential element of that Greek word, adel, it means to help. It means to benefit someone else. So essentially what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ, it means that we're the same family by God's design. He's the one who made it this way. So by God's design, we are brothers and sisters in Christ here. It is His plan, and He's done this. He's designed it so that we will help each other, so that we will benefit each other. And I just want to say as a side note to that, that means there is no Lone Ranger Christianity. There's not. To say that you belong to Christ, and I'm not saying it's not possible, it is, but that is never God's plan. To say that you are a follower of Jesus and that you have no use for the church is absolutely clearly outside the will of God, always. And I meet a lot of people who say that these days, that they're a Christian, but they have no use. To me, that's like saying, well, I am an atheist, but I'm a Christian. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to say when God's plan, when God says you are a brother or you are a sister, you are to gather together with your family for the benefit of each other, and you say, I don't want to do it. It doesn't make any sense. It's not according to God's plan. Since we are the same family, we are the family of God, we need to recognize that we have things in common. That's what it means, again, Adele, to have some things in common, to help each other, that we have the same Heavenly Father. Whether I like you or not, whether you like me or not, whether I like what you're doing or not, we have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same obligations to our Heavenly Father. We have the same revelation of our Heavenly Father in the Word of God. We are to have the same family loyalties. We're to have the same shared family goals. We hold these things in common, and as we do, it shapes our family. It determines our attitudes. When we look at life as family, the way God intends to, as brothers and sisters, it changes our behavior toward each other and how we speak to each other. You know, as siblings in the same family, we are clearly to love one another. Always. We're to love one another. We're to endeavor to work really well together. We're to have mutual respect for one another, because it's pleasing to God. It also means, since we're brothers and sisters, that we need to guard against divided loyalty to our family. That we need to not do anything to demean or discourage a brother or a sister in Christ. We have a family calling, a family responsibility to help each other. Now, helping each other, of course, that's done with our words. We want to speak life. We want to speak encouragement to each other. We should always be quicker to encourage than to criticize. And sometimes that's even toughest when other relationships, human relationships, are in the way. Sometimes we think because someone's a husband and they have a wife, you can talk to them in a way that you would never talk to another believer who is not your spouse. Or because somebody's a brother or sister. Or a child, that somehow that gives us some kind of out, that we don't have to treat them with encouragement, that we can treat them with discouragement instead. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have this relationship with one another, and we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us insight into each other's heartaches as we do life together, into our problems. And since we have the Holy Spirit, we're able to empathize with each other and to mourn with each other and to celebrate with each other in a way that those who don't have the Holy Spirit can't do. That they can't, on that heart level, on that soul level, rejoice with you in the same way. So the Bible provides some great examples of how brothers and sisters should relate to each other and how they should not. So we're going to look at a few of those now. And some of these are earthly brothers and sisters. Some are eternal brothers and sisters in Christ. When I think about siblings in the Bible, two of the names that come to mind for me are James and his brother John. they're a decent example. We don't have a lot of detail of their life, but they are referenced in all four Gospels. And so we know a little bit about them, and they're called the sons of Zebedee, their father Zebedee. And we find that they shared some things in common in their family life, that they both worked in their father's trade, that they both had an occupation that was trying to provide for a family as they were called to come and follow Christ. And then we find that as they both become followers of Jesus, that they now have this even more significant bond, this more important bond of they both want to know Jesus. They both want to learn and to serve and to follow Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that as they do that in this Christian loyalty to Jesus that they share, there's never any conflict with the loyalty they had to their family. It doesn't mean that they're suddenly horrible sons or disrespectful or anything. That it actually should mean as you become a Christ follower that it enriches other relationships, ideally. And I know it doesn't always go that way. But that's what God would have. Another example that I think of in Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, thinking of siblings. Hopefully none of you ever can identify with that in your family. Anybody ever want to kill your sibling? Or maybe they want to kill you? It's not a good thing. You know, Jacob and Esau, another example of how we should not relate to each other. You know, that I think Jacob and Esau, because we have some more detail there, there's so much there that every child in a family, especially if you have siblings, maybe even a lot of siblings, Sir Scala, if you have a lot of siblings, looking at that example of Jacob and Esau, they are an example of dividing family loyalty for their own advantage, of causing division, of, you know, all children should love both parents, always. All children should love both parents and never play one parent against another, like Jacob and Esau did. Never do that. Or ever take advantage of your brother or your sister, especially maybe when they're hungry or in a time of weakness. Jacob took advantage of Esau on two different occasions in Genesis 25 and 27, and it resulted in separation in the family and in bitterness. And it took years for their relationship to heal. So whether we're talking about biological family, your biological brothers and sisters, or spiritual brothers and sisters, loyalty matters. Loyalty matters. Trustworthiness matters. Encouraging each other and helping each other matters. And those should be plain to see in your relationship. On the other hand, jealousy and rivalry in any form are always going to be harmful among siblings, including brothers and sisters in Christ, including in the church. It does damage. Some really good lessons in Jacob and Esau in doing damage in a relationship because of jealousy. Another example I think of is Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, and this is a better story than Jacob and Esau as far as how it turns out, but in the Gospel of John we see a lot written about this family. These sisters and this brother, and they have some things in common. Obviously, they're from the same family. They live in this place called Bethany, and they have this family bond and love that's clear in the scriptures, but then they also, we see, they have this bond of a love for Jesus, that they have all come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, even though they're different from one another. I mean, do you know any brother and sister that don't have a lot of differences? Phyllis, are there any differences between these two? Brothers and sisters. I know there's common ground, but brothers and sisters have a lot of differences between. But even just sisters, just Mary to Martha, they are so different in the scriptures than you read it. And obviously, Martha's really, you know, task oriented, and we've talked about that in different messages. And she's crazy OCD like me. And Mary seems more bent towards spiritual insights and pursuit, and that's kind of her wiring. And but the great thing about their story, and just what I want to highlight here, is that you don't have to be similar at all to your brothers and sisters to get along. You don't. Mary and Martha And even Lazarus, and you see in how they treat each other that there is this love between siblings. There's this happiness that's there. There's this harmony in a sibling relationship, even though they had all these differences in their life, because they have Jesus in common. Because Jesus becomes for them the center of their lives. It doesn't matter that they've got all these other differences. They have Jesus in common. Well, I want to take a brief look tonight at Matthew 12. You can turn there if you like. We've got slides. Matthew 12, starting in verse 46. And I want to look at Jesus and his siblings for a minute. Jesus and his brothers. Matthew 12, 46. We're going to look at 46 through 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Now, there's parallel accounts of this in the other Gospels, and they imply that Jesus' mother and the brothers are there actually to do more than just speak to him, that they feel like they need to set him straight on some things, that they're really doing a bit of an intervention here in their mind. And they've come to remove Jesus from what he's doing and what he's saying. And so they go to this place, and someone comes to Jesus, and they say, it says, someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you, Jesus. And I read that, and to me, it's very curious, because everybody else is inside listening to Jesus. So why are they on the outside? Because they're there for their agenda. Well, they did show up late, probably too. Maybe no, it's like Cracker Barrel. I mean, you snooze, you lose. You're not getting a seat. They're there with their own agenda to say what they want to say to him. They're not there to listen to him. They're not on the inside like the disciples are, who are there to listen and to learn and to be changed. That's where his followers are. That's what they're doing. And so Jesus replies to the one who's come and given this news about his family. Jesus replied to him, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And then he starts pointing to his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. He's saying, this is my family. This is my family. For whoever, and this, I love that word here, and I don't want to skip over that. It is so important that whoever, this whoever affects your view of yourself. It is important to how you view other people, even in your understanding of the heart of God. In the Greek, the word here for whoever, it is hostis. And what it means is anyone who, Jesus says, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven, anyone who will turn from sin, because that's the will regarding Jesus, right? Anyone who will turn away from sin and trust in me for salvation, really is at the core of what Jesus is saying, that person is my family. That person is my brother and my sister and my mother. They are my family, Jesus said. So is Jesus saying that our birth families are unimportant? No, he's not saying that at all. But he's saying that being a follower of Jesus, those who are there listening and responding and doing the will of the Father, those relationships supersede any family relationship that's earthly. It's more important. Whoever. Whoever follows Jesus, he's saying, no matter who it is adopted into his family. They are mother, brother, sisters. They are part of this new family now with God the Father as the head of this family. Whoever follows Jesus, there's no asterisks. Anyone, it doesn't matter what the nationality is. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. It doesn't matter how many years they did time. It doesn't matter what their political persuasion is. It doesn't matter what their income is or is not. It doesn't matter what talent they have. It doesn't matter how many times they have fallen back into sin and failed. Anyone. It doesn't matter what flavor of sin they think tastes the best. Any human being who will put their trust in Jesus Christ, who will do the will of the Father, who will believe the gospel, anyone is part of his family. That's Jesus' point. He wants us to understand what it means to follow him. What it means to really follow him. It means to be part of his family. And what it doesn't mean. No one's excluded. Anyone who will do the will of the Father by putting their trust in Jesus Christ, who will receive the gospel, is part of the family, no matter what your hang-up with that person is. No matter what they did to you 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. There's no exception. There is no exception. And they're not just in by the skin of their teeth and you have to tolerate them. The Word of God says they're your brother or your sister. And you have to love them that way. That's what Jesus is getting at. No one is excluded. Everyone is forgiven. Everyone is accepted who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, who will turn from their sin and embrace the Savior. Anyone. You know, I love our greeting time that we do during our worship services. When we do that, every person that you lay eyes on, every person you shake hands with, every person you hug is a brother or sister forever. Forever. And when we do that, we're just communicating acceptance and value. Value. Whether there's a benefit to us that we perceive or not. We're communicating that God's word is true. That he says they're my brother or sister. And he's not a liar, no matter how I feel today. And every person that we interact with who is not a follower of Jesus is a prospective brother or sister, no matter what you think about them. And you need to, and you gotta treat them that way. You have to treat them that way. They have 100% the same potential you had of being adopted into the family you've been adopted into. And you have to see them that way. You have to treat them with dignity and with love and with grace and value and respect and trusting, believing they're going to come into the family. I'm going to pray for it. Given the opportunity, I might even get to talk to them about it. Might get a share of the gospel. Might even get to be there when they're adopted into the family. But you treat them that way with love and with dignity, whether you like them or not. And whether you are like them or not, no matter how different they are than you, no matter how different their sin is, no matter what their chains may be a different color than the chains you had, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They, God willing, are going to be your brother or sister. And we have to love each other that way. I want to give us a few minutes of just application. Of just talking about us for a few minutes, this church body, this family unit here of Here's Hope. Because I want us to have a biblical understanding of what church is, what family is, and to understand what it means to be a healthy church or a healthy family or successful or however you want to word it. I want us to understand that healthy church has nothing to do with how many people are here. Ever. It doesn't. It has a lot to do with the love that's here. But nothing to do with how many butts are in the pew. Now, we want people to come. You know, we want to be blessed by getting to know new people, by them growing in Christ, by us being blessed by them. I mean, we want that, but Success has to do with spiritual health and love, not with the size of a congregation. You know, health, in the Bible, it talks about the renewing of our minds, that our thinking is to be different because of the Word of God applied by the Spirit of God to the people of God, that our thinking starts to be different. That's success. That's health. That our hearts change, that our affections change, that we're no longer, we're all really crazy selfish when we're born. I don't know if you guys know that or not. I hate to, you know, burst your bubble about your, you know, maybe about your grandchild, but we're born selfish. I mean, just try to take a toy away from any toddler. You don't have to teach them like, ah, you know, they want what they want. We're born that way. But as we get healthier in Christ, as there's more of the Holy Spirit having His way and less of me having my way, we love each other better. That's healthy church. It's transformed minds and transformed hearts and transformed lives. And God, that's what God uses to build His church. And that's what honors Christ. God creates everything on purpose. Would you guys agree with that? You don't have to. But I mean, he is a God of intentionality. I think God creates everything for a reason. We are at a place in the life of this church, in our infancy, really. We're at a place where I believe we're not just small church. We're strategically small church. We're small by God's design because He has a strategy in it. For now, for this season. It is on purpose. It is not by accident. That today, for today, we're small. Now, there are churches that are strategically larger families because that's what God is going to use. But whether a large family or a small family, either way, God is more concerned, no matter what the size of that church family, that it's healthy than the size. He doesn't care how big it is. He has a purpose, a strategy in both big church and small church. But no matter how many people, God wants us to be teachable because He's always trying to teach us something. He wants us to be humble enough to receive it. He wants us to have integrity, to not be hypocrites. If we say we love everybody in a supernatural way, it better be for real, or we're no different than the Pharisees. We're claiming a lot of stuff that wasn't true. He wants us to walk in truth and to walk in love. He wants us to be passionate. To be a healthy church is to be a passionate church, that our hearts are engaged with the heart of God, and that we have a heart for each other. I think that when we have our greeting time and you guys are hugging somebody out of genuine love, that conveys healthy church more than any program we will ever have. No matter what facility we are in, doesn't matter. When you hang out after service and somebody just seems burdened and you take time to listen to them, that says more about being a healthy church and the heart of God than any program or ministry that we could try to point them toward to help deal with a problem. When you listen and you love and you take time, that's the heart of God. I love one of Mark's prayers often that he prays when we're together, and he'll pray for all hearts to be closer to His heart. That's what God is interested in. He's not interested in us just trying to fix everybody that is different than us. He wants us to be a faithful church, a church that is led by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, 14 through 16, it talks about those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. If you are a brother or sister, and God says you are, if you're in Christ, then you are led by the Spirit of God. And the Word says in verse 15 there in Romans 8 that the Spirit that we have doesn't make us slaves so that we live in fear. God's doing something in this church body. He's going to bring people that are going to intimidate you. I'm just telling you. And the people that he's going to bring that's going to intimidate you are not going to be the same people that intimidate me. He's got other people selected for that he's going to bring. But we got to receive them as brothers and sisters. Not with a spirit of fear, but out of faith. Even if they have an Armani suit and a tie, I still have to love them. But God's Spirit testifies with our spirit, the word says, that we are His children, that we belong to Him. And I think that as new people come who are very different than we are, some have come from different religious backgrounds that come to know Christ. Some from large urban communities in Illinois that move here that maybe some people aren't so thrilled about, that are just from a different background. We're going to love them into the family. And they're going to love us back. And God will be glorified in that happening. Worship team, if you'd come up, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, what a beautiful truth from your word, God, that we are Adel, that we are brothers and sisters, that we share this common family today and forever, God. That we share you, that we are of one spirit, that we are one body, we are one family with one awesome Savior, with one revelation, the Bible, with one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that you intentionally, strategically bring each one here. That every person, God, that you bring through that door, as we pray every week, God, bring who you want to bring. That you bring them for a reason. Help us to receive each person that way. That every person, no matter how different they are, no matter how like us they are or somebody else they are, no matter how much we like or don't like God, that you bring each one for a reason. And then we need to know what that reason is. We need to spend time getting to know people and doing life with people to make sure that they know Christ. And to make sure that they know that they have your invitation, God. Not only to salvation, but your invitation to be part of this family. And we have no right to ever withhold that invitation from anyone because it's not ours. It's yours. God, I thank you for each person here, Lord. I thank you that each person here who is in Christ tonight has taken you up on your invitation, Lord, to come to you and receive salvation, to receive forgiveness and life, adoption into your family, God. But Lord, for any here tonight who have not called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, God, I just pray right now that your love would break through, God. That they would think upon the cross. That they would think upon the extreme that you went to save. And what an expression of love and justice and holiness that is, God. And that your Spirit would draw any here tonight, God, that have not come to you yet, saying, I want to receive that. I want to be part of the family. I want to be a brother or a sister. I want to have this family in common with God as my Father. Lord, I pray that as we worship you again, Lord, that we would communicate gratefulness, Lord, to you. God, that we would communicate love, that we communicate joy, that we would communicate the truth that your Holy Spirit is within us, and we're not ashamed of that, that we're really pretty excited about it, that it's an awesome thing, and we have reason to shout because we have eternal life and we've got the best Father ever, forever. God, help us to worship you well. In Jesus' name, amen.